so glad to be here. I had a phenomenal opportunity last night. As Cindy said, I'm brand new, 3 weeks, and brand new to the University of Virginia. So last night I had the opportunity to meet Bill Kroll from Richmond, and get to learn about the amazing travels that he has taken from the University of Virginia to all the places that he's lived, to bring himself back here and to come as a leader. I had the opportunity to meet a very young couple at the back table, Josh and Jasdeep, who are just out of the university but are coming back, I think, in 4 to 6 weeks to get married here in Charleston. I also got to meet Pam. I'm not sure where Pam is, but right here, from Tampa, and learn everything that she's doing and how she is a leader in the community there. It's really an amazing opportunity for me because, as I said, I haven't been part of the university. But just getting to speak with people last night and to hear the passion, hear the stories, and figure out what drives you to come back here, to spend your time to learn more, go back into your communities, and bring people together is phenomenal. One of the things that we are doing for the historic inauguration of Teresa Sullivan is we are capturing stories and ideas and memories about what makes this university so special. And I was thinking about it over the last couple of days. For me, it's really that tapestry. It's really the individual experiences, the collective experiences that all weave together. And as I was thinking about what, for me, and I've lived in Charlottesville for 10 to 12 years, it was the art museum. The art museum here is something that I've been to many times. I absolutely love it. It is a treasure. And then last night, we were listening to the wonderful song. The song starts and everybody starts singing, and I think, oh, I don't know this song. And I'm standing beside Jasper, and all of a sudden he literally gets goes, boom, you're gonna, and he's, raise your fist. And all of a sudden I'm like, I have to raise my fist. And that made me think, at the university, when you don't know what's going on, there's someone right there to help you at that moment to teach you what you need to know. And I learned that last night. And that became my favorite thing about the university. And it's wonderful to know that the experience of what you're doing can change, and you can learn, and you can have something new that's fantastic. So I want to let you know, as the icebreaker, as we're thinking about this, is what is your favorite experience? What is a memory that you have of the University of Virginia that when you think about it, it's that feeling? For me now, it's the, oh, get ready to raise your fist and know that you're going to do that. And as the day goes on, you're going to see people out and about with flip cameras. And what we're doing is we really are trying to collect some of those ideas and some of those stories, some of the thoughts that you have, and share them with President Sullivan, put them out there for the world to see on Facebook and social media, but be able to do it from the leaders who really have that passion, take it back to their community. And I've shared with you my art, love of the art museum, and now my love of the fact that someone is right there to take care of you and give you that information that you didn't have at that moment. So I want to call on some people to give their thoughts. So everybody, I've already asked one person to go first, so that's taken care of. But then I would love to hear some ideas from people on what they think, and then as the day goes on, you really will see people with cameras that will capture some of that. So Claire in the back was wonderful to be able to stand up first and share something with us.
So my memory of the university and the thing that I connect the university to is the intellectual connection that we all share with a sense of fun. And my best memory of the University of Virginia is meeting my husband at the Jefferson Literary and Debating Society. And I think that that particular organization really embodies that combination of intellect and fun. And that actually is what drove me back to become a part of the UVA Clubs of Annapolis and to continue to lead. Because my husband and I, as he was in the Air Force, traveled all over the world. But we found that that was something that was missing in our lives. And so when we moved back to the East Coast, we started coming back to football games. And we live in Annapolis, Maryland. And we were still kind of missing that connection. And as we started to find, we started with the UVA Club of Maryland. And as we started to find other Wahoos, we were feeling that connection again, and we wanted to really build on that. And so that's why I'm a part of the UVA Partner Networks. Who will tell me something? Bill, what about you? You were a wealth of knowledge last night.
My favorite memory, I had just started Darden. It was 2 weeks in. It was incredibly tough. And I went to the doctor for my physical to get it, you know, stay in the university. And the doctor came back and said, you know, you have high blood pressure. I'd never had high blood pressure. And he said, what's going on? And I said, well, I just started Darden. My wife's in Richmond having our first child. He said, come back in 2 weeks. And I did.
Would you like me to call? Well, I'll walk over to the table. Kate.
I'm perfectly
happy. Yeah, I can you have your name and then the club you're with, and that helps.
Sure. My name's Kate Jokers. I'm with UVA Club of Chicago. Probably one of my, the thing that like makes me, my heart warm when I think of the University of Virginia is just the friendships that you build. You know, everybody gets busy with their lives, and yet still have all these connections to all these people around the country, and you sort of pick up right where you left off whenever you get back together. So, you know, one of the great things about the UVA clubs is that you can build those connections in your cities, and you have that kind of background.
Thank you. I'm roaming.
Okay.
Thank you.
I'm Samara Roberson. I'm with the UVA Club of DC, and I think my favorite thing about UVA has to be Newton Hall. I was a student manager there for 2 years and then a business assistant for my first two. And I think the mentorship that I got while I was at Newton was the most powerful thing that connected me back to UVA, to be honest. Daniel Steeper, I don't know if many of you know him. Him and Tabitha Enoch are my biggest favorite people here at UVA. But the time I spent in Newton Hall doing the work for the university continues to drive me to be a club leader, to participate, to remind people to come back. So,
yeah. Hi, I'm Michael Pillow from Orlando. Probably my, what I mean, some of the experiences I could relate to probably are not good for this kind of crowd. later, but one in particular comes to mind. But the getting the inspiration for professors like Professor Elzinga, the intellectual inspiration that he gives to students, first year students taking economics. And then the other thing that really got me, two things. One is, one of the things we studied was the economics of beer, which captured everyone's attention, even though, as he said, he was a teetotaler. And then he invited all the students who didn't have a place to go to his house for Thanksgiving. And I thought that was just a wonderful way to show what the university is all about. So, one of my favorite memories.
Thank you so much for coming.
Probably a real unique experience. I'm Jana Ushry, Richmond Club. I received my master's in the 70s, and one thing that we did as graduate students, we went on about a 3-day sensitivity training with all of our professors, and some of you may even have to look up what sensitivity training is, but it was a 3-day marathon of group trust activities and sharing secrets, and with no sleep for 3 days. And it was amazing that the professors would share something like that with students.
Hi, I'm Sally. So I'm the Club of Santa Barbara, and also I have lots of memories, probably not appropriate. But one of my favorite things is that my parents actually met here in the 70s. So now it's kind of a family affair. You're stuck with us. And, so they started in Phoenix with the club involvement when I relocated back to Santa Barbara. And I've been able to sort of find a community of Virginia people in a small town that you might not otherwise find Virginia people. So that's what brings me here today.
Thank you, Sandy.
Yes.
I'm sitting in a hit about with the Club of DC, and this is probably a lot less thoughtful than some of the other individuals here, but I would have to say double room tonight at St. Mark 10 on Tuesday, because that was a bonding period when also, like, I will tell you that yesterday I put it on my Facebook St. Mark's Fence, here I come, and I had like 10 likes. You know, I didn't necessarily experience Mark 10 with me at the time, knew what I was talking about.
Thank you.
Anybody? Yes,
in the back. Hi, Ken Lou, I'm with KCAN. I love the just the wealth of opportunities that I had here at the university. There's so many activities to get involved in. And as a first year, I jumped right into the Cavalier Daily and started writing opinion pieces. And this was right during the 1989 Education Summit that President George Bush Sr. held here. And CNN happened to be here and picked up my article and interviewed me the second week that I was here at the university. quite an interesting experience.
Well, that's fantastic. Anyone, time for one more. Yes, thank you.
Good morning. My name is Cheryl Hewitt. I'm from the UVA Club of Fort Lauderdale. And I think my most precious memory of the university is my fourth year internship in the sports marketing department and being on the field when we gave Florida State its first ACC bowl.
Thank you so much for sharing your thoughts, sharing your memories. And as I said, there are going to be people around with cameras, and we really do want to capture some of this. It's just fantastic to share with other people. Another, just a little bit of housekeeping really fast. On the wall down in the hall, you'll see some pieces of paper, and it says round table on it. What we want to do is have some ideas for round table lunches. And people have given us some feedback, which is fantastic. We still have a few tables that we would like to have topics around. So if you take a look at those pieces of paper, please, and if there's something that's not on there that you really would like to participate in a table on, please write that up, because we want to make sure that we're meeting people's needs. And we got a lot of feedback and information coming into this, but we know that there's some areas that we haven't covered. We want to make sure we're giving people the opportunity to be able to do that. Well, I would like to move on and introduce Tom Falders, who's the president and CEO of the Alumni Association. And you've already met Cindy Frederick, who stood up, and she is the vice president of the Office of Engagement. And they are going to speak with us and talk about the leadership and the stakeholders that make this community so strong. And we asked in advance for people to provide questions to us, which they did, and was really, thank you so much. They're going to take the opportunity to answer some of those questions that we've already written down, and then if we have time at the end, we'll take a few questions from the audience as well.
Got my questions in hand. Good morning, everyone. Good to be here. I'm Tom Falders. I'm with the Alumni Association, and I'll talk a little bit about the Alumni Association, the Office of Engagement, but before I do that, I felt compelled to give you my favorite experience.
Thank you.
There's so many, so it's hard to choose from, but, and I don't know if they still do this or not, but I was also in the Jefferson Literary and Debating Society, and for Mr. Jefferson's birthday, what we would do is get up before dawn, we would go up to Monticello. Now, that at that point in time, you had to just jump a fence. You didn't have to go through the visitor center and all the sort of stuff you have to do now. We jumped a fence. Went up to the front porch that overlooks the Southwest Bridge there to watch sunrise, and we all signed a birthday greetings. We taped it to the glass, making sure we didn't touch the wood or any of those sorts of things that might do some damage. We taped it to the front door, and then we happened to bring some adult beverages with us, and we sat on the front porch of Monticello watching the sun come up. And if that wasn't enough, then we repaired back to the lawn for Bloody Mary. So it was, I think I did that 2 years in a row. It was one of those events that you just kind of, kind of stays in your mind for a long, long time. Anyway, Cindy and I just want to go through how the university looks at the overall puzzle of engagement. Engagement, I used to think, had something to do with weddings. I've learned, both Cindy and I have been in the job roughly 5 years, I've learned that engagement means something quite different. And simplistically, our job as a group, both Office of Engagement and the Alumni Association, is to connect alumni back to the university in ways they want to go. I mean, we're in a sense ecumenical. We're not trying to push or pull for any particular group within the university. It's so broad and so varied. What we're looking for is make connections wherever alumni want to make connections. It could be the clubs, it could be a favorite professor, it could be a student group, it could be an AIG, it could be all sorts of different things. So, assuming I make this work. Back in 2003, just before the capital campaign started, which actually got its official start in 2006, Judge Esteen felt that we needed to do a lot more as an institution in engaging our alumni. The theory is pretty simple. People aren't going to donate to the university if they're not engaged with the university. So it's, you know, it's a two-step process. And I would say that the history of the university, we started fundraising in a major way in 1992. We didn't start really the engagement efforts in a major way, in sort of world-class way, until really about 2005, 2006. Let me explain that. John knew that we had to engage our alumni better than we were doing. Now, let me be fair. We have probably the most loyal alumni of any institution, certainly public institution, in many cases private institutions, in the country. All the surveys we've ever done, basically, when we ask the question, please rate your undergraduate experience, we have the highest grade of any institution that has been measured by this national polling firm. And it's called the Advancement. And every time they do this for us, they come back and say, I don't know what's in the water over there, but for some reason, your alumni are more loyal and more, you know, their undergraduate experience was the best. And this, you know, we take a look at, compare it against our cohorts. And the cohorts that we use are some of the better known large state institutions, but also most of the better known private institutions. So we have that database in there and we're able to compare. So it's not that we don't have loyal alumni, it's just a question of how we get them back involved with the university community in one way, shape, form, or another. So John formed a task force called an Alumni Relations Task Force, clever name, and they worked for about 18 months and came up with a fabulous document, which is still online if you want to see it, virginia.edu/something and then ARTF. Anyway, if you type either ARTF or Alumni Relations Task Force into the search engine or the website, you'll find it. It goes on for about 120 pages. Not that you want to read all that, but I think the executive summary is quite good. It gives you an idea of kind of the blueprint that we've used now to build alumni engagement. What came out of there, and it wasn't exactly a smooth process, and I won't get into who shot what, but in the end, the club organizations that used to report to the Alumni Association went over to the development shop under a newly formed organization called Alumni or Office of Engagement. Also, travel went over there, as well as the online capabilities. Now, what the Alumni Association, what was their part of the deal? They had to build up reunions rather dramatically. They also, before the Alumni Magazine was only sent to Alumni Association members. Now the Alumni Magazine is sent to everyone, including staff, including parents, including friends. We put out about 220,000 copies of each magazine every 3 months. So basically there was an upgrade on both sides to try to improve our engagement capabilities. And here is a slide that kind of breaks out some of the things that are done. Of course, the Alumni Association continues to do the homecomings. We're trying to build up homecomings to a young alumni reunion, 0 through 5. We do all the fall weekends, we do the reunions. Now, we don't just do one reunion, we probably do 20 a year now. Of course, there's the big one in the first weekend in June. There's the Thomas Jefferson Society, for those of us, not me yet, have reached 50 years of, since they graduated. Every day it gets closer. and then we do a lot of special reunions. So it's an ongoing process. We do the alumni interest groups, which is focusing not just on class engagement, which what the reunions are, they're really focused on what class you graduated from. But over time, what class you graduated from is going to be less relevant for many alumni. So that's the idea behind the alumni interest groups. You identify with a group that you have a particular affinity with. And so you'll see that continuing to expand over time. We do, for those of you who have children who are in high school, who might be interested in coming back to the university, we do have a very good advisory program, which is the Legacy Admissions Program. We run out of Alumni Hall. If you have a child in high school, I'm just putting a quick pitch, don't wait till they're first semester senior year. By that time, their high school career is cooked. There's not much we can do, you know, to change it. Get them in freshman, sophomore years, so we can help them think through how to plan out their high school career so that it will look as good as it can possibly look to the admissions folks who are reading the applications. So think about that, and if you've got friends who have high school, you know, people in the club who have kids who are getting to high school age, freshman, sophomore year, unfortunately we see a number of folks who senior year, they haven't taken any AP courses, they haven't taken any honors courses. Not a whole lot we can do about that. Our general advice there is there are a college for everyone. We also support students. When I first got there, there were more students coming in out of Alumni Hall than alumni, and I couldn't quite figure out what all that's about. But in fact, students are alumni in training. And so we work with students from first year all the way up to fourth year, working on class identity, working on class events and class engagement, with the hope that once they graduate, they become better alumni. Now, on the Office of Engagement side, as I mentioned, the club organization is housed in the Office of Engagement. Alumni education, continuing education, this is an area that is of continuing interest to alumni. Once again, those surveys we did, we found that one of the things, I still remember this one quote, it's beautiful. He said, "The worst thing that ever happened to me is I graduated from the university." Kind of go, "I'm sorry, I missed that." The problem he had was, the minute he graduated, he no longer had access to all the great databases and all the learning that he had when he was a student here. And so we're working. I mean, there's certain limitations we have, most of them contractual, with getting databases available and so on and so forth. But nonetheless, in the alumni education, we're working very hard to open up the university to you all so you can continue to learn, you can continue to use the university as a resource as you're looking to find out more about different things. Cavalier Travels is a great program that's expanding every year. This is, and the beauty of Cavalier Travels, of course, is you have usually a university professor going with you who has a degree of expertise, in fact, a great expertise in whatever the travel area is. That's a fabulous program. UVA Families is an engagement process for the families. They work closely with the Parents Committee, which the Alumni Association sponsors, to engage our parents. And, of course, the clubs do a great job engaging parents as well. The Office of Engagement also works with the student organizations. The signature event, which I think is just fabulous, came actually from an idea from an alum in Singapore, which was, we have kids coming from overseas, an increasing international group, and they get to Dulles Airport, and most of them have no idea where Charlottesville is. And there were some horror stories about kids spending overnight in the bus station in downtown D.C. and some of those sorts of things. And for those of you in D.C., you know what that means. What was organized was a bus, basically a series of buses to go up and pick up the kids and bring them down to Charlottesville ahead of time, make them feel warm, get them into their dorm rooms, and start that orientation process early for the international students, which is a fabulous event. And finally, the engagement community. The Office of Engagement has taken responsibility for getting the entire university community together. I've got another slide talking about who engages whom, and you'll see that, like everything else we do here at the university, we make it as complex as we possibly can. Who are our alumni? It says we have a total of 211,000 alumni here, a little bit more. Actually, that's true, but about there are roughly 12,000 alumni where we have no addresses, no records, no nothing. All we have is we have a name and we have a graduation date. It's true, what happens is some alumni drop off the face of the earth, at least from our point of view. So if you take a look at the alumni who we can contact, we have just under 200,000 alumni. Age spread is interesting. Many of you know the history of the university, but it started out as a white male university. And it stayed that way until roughly 1970. And the school was also rather small. My graduating class, we had about 1,500 walk down the lawn, where now we have 6,000 walking down the lawn. So it's gotten a little bit larger. The net result from an alumni demography point of view is we have a relatively young alumni base. The school grew dramatically in the 70s, late 70s and early 80s. And so if you take a look at the average age of our alum, or the average graduation date of our alum, it's 1991. If you take a look at some of the other large universities, those that have had a steady state growth, you know, their average graduation rate is in the 70s. So it's fascinating that we have a much younger population overall. It's not surprising that the bulk of our graduates are from the arts and sciences, College of Arts and Sciences, both graduate school and undergraduate school. That works out to be roughly 60-65% of all our graduates, but obviously we have graduates from all the other schools as well. From a geographic point of view, we're widely dispersed. 40% of our alumni stay in Virginia. Now that's interesting because, as you all know, two-thirds of the entering class has to be have to be Virginia residents. But we're a net exporter, much to the chagrin of our friends in Richmond. And we have 40% living in the state and 60% living everywhere. We have alumni in 72 countries, and then we have, of course, alumni in every state in the union. So we're rather widely dispersed, which is a good thing, because this is what Mr. Jefferson originally wanted. He wanted to train us in what he termed the useful sciences and be able to perform for the country throughout the country. And I don't think he envisioned the world at that point in time, but that's a good thing as well. Who engages? Now this is the complexity a little bit. Who engages alumni? Who goes out and talks to alumni? The short answer is everyone. And sometimes that can be a challenge because I know I have a number of folks who contact me and said, can you please, you know, stop the spigot. I'm getting way too much stuff. But nonetheless, the primary responsibility, of course, is the Alumni Association, the Office of Engagement, and the professional schools have their own alumni groups. So the Darden has an alumni group, or an alumni association of sorts, the law school does, and the medical school does. So those are the primary areas of responsibility in terms of just engaging. Now, what else happens? The bright line between engagement and fundraising is not that bright. And so a lot of the schools have their own engagement activities as well. One that comes to mind that they're very active is the McIntyre School. So if you're a McIntyre School grad, you're probably getting lots and lots of things that look like engagement, but they're all precursors to, wouldn't you like to write us a check? All the school foundations do some degree of engagement. There are other foundations who will contact you and ask you to come to events like the Miller Center and so on and so forth. Alumni interest groups, obviously, and student organizations have no problem contacting you as well. For those of you in the Jefferson Literary and Debate Society or Cavalier Daily or that sort of stuff, you get alumni newsletters and so on. So there are lots of people who are working that engagement game. Now let me turn it over to Cindy to talk about a very important segment of our group.
One of the things that Tom mentioned in 2005 when the Alumni Relations Task Force came out with a report, President Katz's team was also out talking to the parents, both alumni parents and non-alumni parents, about their level of involvement through focus groups, through the 2020 campaign. And at that point, he said, you know, we heard from the parents, and parents wanted to be not only involved in the life of the student, but they also wanted to be involved as individuals in the life of the university. And so at that time, we created the UVA Families Engagement Program because we have about 27,000 current parents, but we also decided, per President Castine's request at that time, to do our engagement activities inclusive. And so at that point, we asked the UVA clubs to also involve our parents in the regional programs. And they did. So our parents are very involved not only as volunteers in both development and engagement activities, but they're also coming out. They're coming out to club events. They're coming back to reunions. They're participating in activities when we welcome back international students. And actually, last year, through our UVA Clubs program, did you realize that 25% of your participants were current or former parents, alumni and non-alumni? So that's a huge stakeholder that we're involving. And I think we can all say that that's really enriched our experience on a regional basis because we have a lot of new energy. The parents bring the student experience back for us, and then we're able to do our work of engaging all alumni, parents, family members, and friends in the institution. So I'm going to leave that there. So that's one important stakeholder. But I know that you all had a lot of questions for President Sullivan, and we wanted to, there were so many questions that we wanted to answer some of those today. So Elizabeth is going to help Tom and I moderate these questions. And again, these questions came from you.
I think it's fabulous the way you were talking about the full scope of the alumni, the constituent alumni, and some of you were talking about the parents that we engage. Is there a plan for the expansion of alumni and parent engagement? And are you looking at this, the success as the total number of people or their experience?
I think, especially through the UVA Clubs program, we have experienced dramatic, tremendous growth. I don't know if you feel it as volunteer leaders, but when we started in 2006, our UVA Clubs were documenting just under 200 events on an annual basis. We had just over 200 volunteers. Now, this past year, UVA Clubs did over 1,100 events, and we have nearly 800 volunteers. So we have increased, we have a dramatic growth of 500%. My initial thought and thinking is that we need now to kind of slow down that growth, and really just kind of work on the quality of our programming. But I do see our expansion continuing on our volunteer leadership. We are never short of our volunteers. That's what drives both the UVA clubs. That's what drives the alumni interest groups. So that's where I see the expansion coming from. In regard to success, it is both the experience as well as the numbers. I always look at what is a win-win. And sometimes you could have a win-win. You might have five people come out to an event or a game-watching party, and they make unbelievable connections. They might relive their experience. They might find a job. They might just have plain old fun, and that's okay. But we also might bring a faculty member from the University of Virginia. And if we had five people at that event, that's not really a win-win because we had so much expenditure to get there. And so it's a balance for me always about how do we maximize our resources, how do we create enriching environments. So it's a combination of both.
And as far as the growth on the, what we look at as reunions is a primary measure. The reunions really got restarted. Reunions have been an off and on event for the university since the mid-1800s. There is a history there, but we really got the modern day reunion really got started in the late 90s. And when we got a little bit organized and started focusing on it, what we found was we get some people coming back, but generally we were in the lower single digits of the classes. Our goal is to get to 20% of every class coming back every 5 years. And right now we are at about 16%. And every year we're growing, every year we get more people coming back. Which is great. Now, we have to have a challenge. We have the physical limitations of Charlottesville. And if we got, some of you who are familiar with Princeton, they sometimes get 50 and 60% of their alumni back. If we had 50 or 60% of our alumni back, we'd have to have them staying in D.C. and Richmond, Stanton, and so on, because there's not enough hotel space, dorm space, or anything else. So there are certain limitations, certain trade-offs that we're looking at as we grow, as the alumni base continues to grow. We may have to do some different things. We may have to split the reunions up and those sorts of things. I will say one other thing we're working on, and this is a joint effort, well, it's actually across the university, is one of the areas that is kind of the holy grail for alumni folks is how do you measure how successful you are? There are lots of different theories and lots of different processes, but there's nothing very exact. What we're trying to do now is try to measure engagement. Clearly, our job is in one sense, very simple. We have, call it 200,000 alumni. We have X number who are engaged, we have Y number who are unengaged. Right now, X is less than Y. Our goal is to, first of all, figure out what X and Y are, and then second of all, get that X larger and that Y smaller. So we hope to be able to, within the next couple months or so, be much better at kind of explaining to ourselves as well as to you all exactly where we are and where we need to go.
Thank you. As you can imagine, with President Sullivan's arrival at the university, people are excited to have her come out to the regions. So one of the questions that was posed, and Cindy, is what's the process for President Sullivan to visit regional cities, and what's the strategy for those visits?
Absolutely. I think one of the things that we were very fortunate in the last several years before with President Castine is that he really wanted to get out to the regions, to the UVA clubs, and say thank you and to see you. So in the last 3 years, there was a lot of presidential visits. We did probably a 60 over a four-year period out in the regions. And some of you are saying, okay, now we have this new president, President Sullivan, and we can't wait to see her. And I want to tell you that the process right now, we are in the final year of our campaign. And the president, as you can imagine, the timing and the request for our president, a brand new president, are pretty high. And so strategically, as an institution, we have initially decided to focus President Sullivan primarily on doing smaller events. She has done a couple of all-comers through the club's program this past year, but the majority of the programming for our regional events with President Sullivan are smaller development-related events. I'm working with our key donors and leaders to finish out our campaign. Then after that, we hope to be able to get her out a little bit more to our club's program. And the process of that is kind of looking at her schedule. We try and maximize resources as much as possible. So I don't know if we have Mark Thaden. So one of the things that President Sullivan was out in your region and you were able to combine, you want to just tell quickly what happened there?
So President Sullivan was in San Antonio for the NCAA meeting, and so she had a free evening, and she said, "Oh, if you have a club here, I'd love to come and meet with some of the alumni and parents." And so we built. I reached out to the club and said, "Oh, this opportunity, President Sullivan's already going to be here. Would you all like to put something together?" So we found a children's museum and actually had a event at that museum, had an exhibit open, did a nice little reception, and President Sullivan introduced herself, talked a little bit about her reflecting on her first months at the university, and so it turned out wonderfully. And San Antonio is a relatively small club, but they were very excited.
Thanks, Mark. So our strategy is a couple fold. If we can maximize travel and resources, we're going to do it. President Sullivan is very much about maximizing resources. I also have a commitment to try and get President Sullivan out to a variety of different areas. So we're the West Coast, the Northeast, the South, and your regional engagement office will work with you all as we develop our slated President Sullivan itinerary for the next year.
And for those of you who are coming back to reunions this year, you'll see plenty of her.
Thank you. Tom, I know we're getting ready to run out of time, but a question that really rose to the top for people is, considering the economic times and the services that the Alumni Association offers, can you tell us about the Career Services Program and how people can take advantage of that?
Sure. One of the probably lesser known, and unfortunately lesser known, services is provided by the university is a Career Services Program. I know when I was out, I never really thought of coming back to the university for help with careers, but nonetheless, it is there, and we've worked very hard to expand it. Now, we have Alumni Career Services operated out of Alumni Hall, works very closely with UCS, University Career Services. When you were an undergraduate, you may have used those facilities. Basically, the way it works is UCS has you 6 months after graduation. After that, they don't have the resources to help you anymore, and then it moves over to Alumni Hall. We have a number of different ways that we try to help people. First of all, we have a face-to-face program where we have a counselor, actually a counselor and a half now, working with people who want to come in and get help with resumes, get help with networking, those sorts of things. That's if you can come to Charlottesville. Not everybody can come to Charlottesville. So we also are using Skype and those sorts of things to be able to do face-to-face consultations that way as well. We have an awful lot of online resources. We have the University Career Assistance Network, more often known as UCAN, which we have about 35 to 40,000 alumni who've registered to be career mentors. They put their name in there, and you all, if you haven't done it, you can do it too. Get on Who's Online, and you can sign up to be a mentor. You have your name, your telephone numbers, that sort of thing, and where you are and what you particularly are doing. Students use UCAN, alumni can use UCAN to go up. You can search by where you are. I'm in Tampa Bay, I love marketing. Who can I talk to? What alum can I talk to who is a marketing or has a marketing type job in Tampa Bay? You can go right in the database, it'll pop up, give you a number of alumni, give their telephone numbers, email addresses, that sort of thing. They want to hear from you. So that's another way we try to engage alumni with other alumni, because in the end, we can only be so helpful here. You need to be where you really need the help is where you are. We also have online on the Career Services portion of the Alumni Association website. I think it's right now it's either 7 or 8 self-help modules. everything from writing resumes to how to negotiate your salary once you get through the process. So you're more than welcome to use those. In fact, that's probably, if you type Alumni Career Services into Google, that's the number one site that comes up, because not only our alumni use it, but it turns out other alumni in other schools. We don't have any sort of secret card or code or anything. So it's interesting. That works pretty well. We're constantly trying to improve and provide the services you all want. So if you have any ideas, by all means, let me know. Emily Bardeen is the director in charge of the program. She's very capable, and she loves hearing from people. So if you've got any ideas or specific recommendations or even questions, call Emily. She tries to make herself available as much as she possibly can.
Great.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks, everyone, and thanks, Tom. Tom has another obligation.